Good morning, everybody. Thank all of y'all so much for being here. We love having you at this worship service together. It's a wonderful opportunity for us to spend time with you and, more importantly, worship God, which is the number one aim of our being here together. Have you heard of the 10-year challenge that is sweeping Facebook land, taking it by storm? This is a slightly modern twist on the classic before versus after comparison that is so commonly made. The idea of this Facebook one is post a picture of yourself in the past, generally speaking, about 10-ish years or so ago. Post a modern picture of yourself, and let's let Facebook world notice the differences. You notice the differences. Let's let everyone kind of spot the differences together and see how you've aged. This before versus after thing is quite common. So common, in fact, that the Lord has been doing it for a long, long time. And you can notice it with me in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 this morning, we're going to see the Lord's take on this before versus after look. In Ephesians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul is doing a magnificent job with his inspired words in letting us know what our life was like before Jesus. And he is talking about our quickening. That's a King James Version word that means being brought to life again. Ephesians chapter 2, it gets off and running in verse number 1. You hath he quickened who were dead, notice, in trespasses and sins. So, for starters, the Apostle Paul is saying, in these sins that you committed before Christ, you were dead in these trespasses and sins. In time past, verse 2, it continues. So this is the before look, before Jesus. Here's what we can say about you. You were dead in trespasses and sins. You walked, again, past tense, this before look. You walked in the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that's the devil. And you were the children of disobedience. Paul goes on to say that our conversation in time past, another translation that I'm recently fond of, describes that as having once lived. Again, the thought is that we're talking about the before picture. This is a look at our lives before Jesus, and I hope I don't have to make this point for you. It's a pretty ugly picture. Before Jesus, here's the running list of what we can say. We were dead. We walked according to the course of this world. You don't have to be a Bible scholar to know that ain't good news. The Lord has called us out of this world. He challenges us to live transformational lives, not conforming to this world, but being very different from this world, and that difference begins by the renewing of our minds. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 famously says, same writer of those words wrote these words. And here Paul is letting us know we were fulfilling, if you follow right along with me, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3, we were fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Again, not a good thing for Christians to do. As Christians, we live to show Christ to the world. You remember Jesus' famous statements that we're a light, we are salt. We should let others see the Lord living in us. But that's not the way these folks were living before Jesus. That's not the way anyone lives before Jesus. Before Jesus, they were fulfilling their own desires, not thinking about the Lord, not putting God first, putting themselves first. It's a very, very ugly picture. and were by nature, I like this idea, Ephesians 2:3. They were by nature the children of wrath. They were because of their continuing, ongoing practice. That's the idea kind of encapsulated by the word nature here. God didn't make them this way. No. They made themselves this way by their long-standing practice. Sometimes even in our vernacular, we call that second nature, something that comes so easily, so readily to you. You call that your second nature. And their second nature, what they had made of their own lives, was to be children of wrath. But Paul interjects before the picture gets too bleak here. Paul says, God is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins. In another place, Paul will say, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The idea here is that we were not close to pleasing God. We were not even close to being close to pleasing God. We were so far away from God. We were yet sinners and dead, spiritually speaking. Paul is letting us know in Ephesians chapter 2, dead in these sins. There's your before picture. You're dead, lost in sin, hopeless, far away from Christ, far away from God. And while we were in that state, the Lord loved us so much that he gave himself for us. God quickens us together with Jesus. By grace are you saved. It doesn't appear just in Ephesians 2:8, but Ephesians 2:5 as well. We're told of this magnificent saving grace, without which all of us would be condemned to this before picture, where we are so lost and hopeless and helpless and in need of so much. But Jesus dies for us, and that provides us with a wonderful opportunity. We were dead in these sins. Paul resumes his previous thought in Ephesians 2:5. We're dead in these sins, but we have been made alive again. I need you to remember here Jesus talking about conversion and how Jesus famously describes conversion in terms of a new birth, being born again. You may recall that classic conversation between Christ and Nicodemus in John chapter 3, where conversion is being described as a second birth, a new birth. Nicodemus feigned confusion. Maybe he was actually confused. I don't know. He should have been tracking right along with what Jesus was saying, but Nicodemus protests and says, what do you mean being born again? This born again stuff doesn't make any sense. How can a man be born again? And then Jesus explains that he's not talking about a physical rebirth. Obviously, that's impossible. Physically, you're not going to be born twice. Nobody is. But Jesus, in talking about a new birth, is talking about spiritually. Because you see, prior to this new birth, we're dead. We're lost. We are separated from God. Paul will even here use the word alienated from God. In case it's not already perfectly clear, without Christ, we're a mess. A doomed mess. And there is no way for that to be fixed unless we put to death that old man of sin. We classically talk about doing that when we look at passages like Romans chapter 6. We put to death this old man of sin. We die to ourselves. That's what happens in the conversion process. We die to ourselves, and we are made alive again. The passage in front of us, Ephesians chapter 2, calls that a quickening. We are made alive again in a fundamentally different way. Paul, in Romans chapter 6, I beg your pardon, Romans chapter 6 it is, Paul will describe this conversion as being risen to walk in newness of life, having just died to ourself, burying the old man of sin. We symbolize that great event in baptism by completely immersing somebody in water. There is a burial that takes place symbolically in this act of completely covering somebody with water. He is putting to death, he or she is putting to death the old person of sin and is being risen from those baptismal waters. I see great design and great brilliance in this imagery here. It's not our imagery, it's the Lord's imagery, and it's brilliant and beautiful. The Lord is depicting in this act of being baptized, again, immersed in water, being risen up from those waters. Paul says, risen to walk in newness of life. Jesus describes it as being born again. In application in his own life, Paul will famously say in Galatians 2, verse 20, that I'm crucified with Christ. He's describing there a death. Crucifixion always meant death. The Romans made sure of that, buddy. They made sure that crucifixion ended your life. Crucifixion even caused the death of Jesus. Now, Jesus won the victory over that death, but notice this point that crucifixion equals death, even for Jesus. And if they had to, they would break your legs, flooding the body with trauma and distress so that death would be hastened. But they made for sure that you died. Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Well, he's saying in one mouthful the same thing we said in a few mouthfuls. We're dead before, and we put that old man of sin and death to death, and we are risen to walk in newness of life. Paul says, I'm dead, but I'm alive. But check this out. Yet not I. Paul says, I'm dead, but I'm alive, but I'm really not alive, not in the way that you might be thinking. I'm not alive in that way because the life that I now live is a new life. Remember, risen to walk in newness of life, putting behind ourselves all of this before picture we see in Ephesians chapter 2. Paul says, the life that I now live belongs to Jesus. The life that I now live is a different kind of life. Yeah, sure, I'm alive, but I'm not alive for myself, not anymore. I'm alive for the Lord who gave his life for me. It's a simple process, simple math. Jesus gave his life for us. We give our life for him. That's the way it's designed to work. And if it doesn't look like that in your life, you need to take a closer look at things because that's the way it's supposed to look. Before Jesus, it is supposed to look so bad, so hopeless, so sin-laden that we don't want to go back there anymore. Unfortunately, I know, you know, we all know of Christians who like to relive their rebellious days and think and speak fondly of the things they did before Jesus was in their life. I don't know that that's a good thing, y'all. The way we should look at our life without Jesus is very sad, very somber. Listen, before Christ, you were not partying and living it up and having a great time and experimenting with all sorts of stuff. Before Christ, you were lost, absolutely hopeless, helpless, not saved. That's the picture that Paul is painting here. With Christ, after Christ, after our conversion to Christ, we have been raised up together to sit in heavenly places. You back up just a moment to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, you find another mention of those heavenly places. God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. There's the before and after we need to focus on. In times past, Paul toggles back and forth between before and after, really trying to drive the point home for his original readers. And it's a point that needs to be driven home for us today too, all these many years later. Paul is saying, at that time, Ephesians 2:12, at that time, you were without Christ. And here's the verse from the reference we made a little earlier, aliens, far away from the Lord, having no rights with God, no standing with God. We were not yet citizens of God's kingdom. We were hopeless. But the Lord allowed that path to be formed between us and Him. God's way out there, we're way over here, and we can't get there from here. We can't get to God by ourselves. Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2 very famously declares that your sins, your iniquities have separated you from God. God is saying very plainly, very matter-of-factly, the problem's with you, buddy. The problem is you. Nothing wrong with God. His ear is not heavy that it can't hear you all of the sudden. His hand has not suddenly been shortened that it cannot save you. There's no defects in God. So your messed up relationship with God is your own doing. Sins, iniquities, same topic of conversation here in Ephesians chapter 2. Sins, iniquities, transgressions, these have separated you from God. These have and are and will kill your soul if you allow them to. Good news, of course, is you don't have to stay in that before state. The good news is you can change the picture instantly. If you take a picture of yourself today and compare it to a picture of yourself from 10 years ago, it'll be real hard to change yourself instantly. Physically, take a lot of work. You have to evaluate that diet and that exercise program and think about some things. And you can't, maybe not, control wrinkles and hair loss and that sort of stuff. There might be some things you can't change instantly physically. Might be some things you can't change at all physically. Thank God this morning we're not talking about physical beauty. We're talking about spiritually being what we need to be. We're talking about before and after spiritually. Before Christ spiritually, you can forget about it. There's no hope. But now, look at Ephesians 2:13. But now, not before, now, in Christ, You who were afar off. Here's the picture. You were way over there before Christ. Now, in Christ, you are close to God. King James Version says, made nigh by the blood of Christ. You were way over there, alienated from God, outside of his hope. Now, in Christ, you're close to God by the blood of Jesus. Our place with God did not come cheap. Jesus had to pay for it with his blood. And as we've just commemorated in this service, he did pay for it with his blood. Willingly, Jesus paid for our sins with his blood. And without that, we would have to pay for our own sins with our own blood. But I've got news for you. Our own blood isn't good enough to wash away our sins. If we give our life for our sins, there's nothing left. There is no hope of heaven. We would just pay a debt for our sins and have nothing to look forward to after that. We would be dead, Ephesians 2:1, in trespasses and sins. We would stay far away from God. We owe God a debt of blood because of our sins. If you pay for it with your own blood, that's all you get. You get a zero balance, and that means no reward, no heaven. God gives us something much, much better. He allows that debt to be paid and for us to enjoy the blessings, the benefits of having never sinned before. In Christ, you who were sometimes afar off are made nigh, brought close by the blood of Christ. He, Jesus, is our peace. He hath made both one and broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Paul is picking up his New Testament versus Old Testament comparison here. This is the beginning, the origin story of this before versus after comparison, but it gives us a wonderful glimpse into our life before Jesus. It's a frequently made comparison. Before, you see the picture on the screen, before, you've got something that's not nearly as beautiful, not nearly as finished, not nearly as refined as the after picture. That after picture is all because of Jesus. But as you can expect with any kind of restoration or any kind of before and after you might be doing, that after picture also requires some maintenance. It's not going to stay looking like that unless you keep it up. You have to maintain it. We clean our girls' rooms. Get them to clean them. I supervise. Clean their bathroom. Holy cow. I'm amazed at the mess that can be made in a teenage girl's bathroom. And every time we clean it, every time we get it spick and span, or oversee their cleaning of it, you know, it's a little bit of both. We jump in and help out. But every time after we say, hey, it's clean now. Sometimes mama says this in the kitchen. It's clean now. Y'all better keep it clean. Well, doesn't always work. In fact, it never has worked. You know, there's always something to do. But that's the point. There's maintenance that has to be made. Now, because of Christ, in Christ, you have a beautiful after picture. Make sure you keep it up. Make sure you maintain it. Make sure you stay in Christ, because yes, 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 it is possible to fall away. Galatians chapter 5, verse 4, we'll talk about the perils of falling away and losing all of this hope and forgiveness of sins that we have in Jesus. So make sure, Christian brother and sister, make sure that you keep it up, because that's the only way it's going to pay off for you. That's the only way it's going to stay nice. That's the only way you're going to make it to heaven. If you are not this morning a member of the Lord's church, the Church of Christ, we want to beg and plead with you to become a member of it this very day. If we can help you at all, it would be a blessing, an honor, and a responsibility for us to do so. You can hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized this morning. If you're ready to take that step, we're ready for you. If you need some time to study, to see for yourself that this is truly the Lord's plan, we would love to be a part of that process as well. We can help you see what God wants for your life. Now, to the Christians, I'm saying, to the ones who have heard, believed, repented, confessed, and been baptized, I'm saying to you from the inspired words of the Apostle Paul, make sure that your life is right. Not going to use the word perfect, because we ain't that. Make sure that your life is right. Make sure that you're staying close to God. It's through that conversion process and Jesus' blood that we are brought in. We're close to Christ. We're in Christ. Make sure that you stay there. And if you, brother or sister, are not keeping that up, maintaining that relationship with the Lord, it would equally be an honor, a blessing, and a responsibility of ours to help you out so that we can all get to heaven together. That's what it's all about. All getting to heaven. And if we can help you this morning in any way with your relationship with God, please, please let us know how. While we stand and sing, we'd love to be there for you.
Thank you for listening to the Augusta Road Church of Christ. Located in Greenville, South Carolina, the Augusta Road congregation worships God in spirit and in truth in a friendly and loving environment. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching for Augusta Road COC. And if you're ever in Greenville, South Carolina, we would love for you to come by for a visit.